My dearly beloved in Christ, today is the first of three Sundays with the long names, which we call pre-Lent. And the purpose of this brief two and a half week period before Ash Wednesday is to prepare us for the season of Lent. So we have the violet vestments, the elimination of the Gloria on the Sunday Masses and of the Alleluia, trying to get us a transition from the joyful season of Christmas to prepare us for the season of Lent, which again is just two and a half weeks away. Now, in today's gospel, we have an interesting parable, story, told by our Lord of laborers in a vineyard. And you see a couple of interesting things in this gospel. First of all, it seems that in those days, many earned their bread as what we would call day laborers. They went into the marketplace hoping that someone would hire them. And we also see that the workday was 12 hours long. So if you are tempted to complain about an 8-hour workday, look at what it was back at the time of our Lord, the 12-hour workday from 6 to 6. We see that the householder, it says, went out at the 11th hour and found still more workers who had not been hired. And in his goodness, his kindness, he hired them, even though there was only 1 hour left of the workday. Then when the end of the day came, all of these laborers were paid the denarius. Now, that must have been the wage at that time for a full day's work. I don't know what it would be equivalent to today, $50, $100, whatever, but the denarius was what they were paid. And the householder was such a good man that he gave all of those who worked, even those who came late, halfway through the day or even towards the end of the day, he still gave them that full day's wage. And we see here the goodness, the kindness of this owner of the vineyard. And those who worked all day began to complain because they thought they should receive more. When they saw those who came late in the day receiving a denarius, they began to murmur. And murmur is a sin, murmuring, complaining. And it undermines the peace of a community or of a home, murmuring. So they were murmuring. And the householder approached one of them and said, "Why are you complaining? Did I not give you what you agreed to work for? Take what is yours and go. Just because I am charitable, I'm kind and generous to those who worked just 1 hour or 3 or 4 or 6 hours, giving them the same as I'm giving to you, that should not be cause for you to complain because I have given you what you agreed to work for." So here we see two things, the virtue of justice and also the virtue of mercy and generosity. We know that God is all just, perfectly just, and also merciful. And these are not contrary qualities. Rather, they are possessed by God in their fullest perfection. But we know that this life is especially a time for mercy, and that when judgment comes, then will be perfect justice. So we see both mercy and justice in this parable. But what do we mean by justice? Justice is one of the four cardinal virtues, the chief moral virtues. And justice is defined as giving to everyone what is his due. So first of all, we have to be just toward God. We read in Scripture that Saint Joseph was a just man. And we read that of others in the Old Testament, that someone was just, and by that they meant it was someone who did everything he was supposed to do according to the law and the commandments. And so we must, in justice, give to God what is his due. But we also have to be just to our fellow men and be certain that we pay them what we owe them, that we fulfill our side of a bargain, of a debt, and make certain that we are known for our honesty and justice. Now, the sin of not paying employees what they deserve, depriving them of their just wage, is actually classed with three others as the four sins which cry to heaven for vengeance. Quite a frightening title. And this reminds us of the words of God to Cain after he killed his brother Abel. And God said to Cain, "The blood of your brother cries out to me from the earth," cries out for vengeance. So theologians categorize sins into different categories, and this one category is the four sins that cry to heaven for vengeance. Have you ever heard of that? Four sins that cry to heaven for vengeance. And they are willful murder, sodomy, the oppression of widows and orphans, and not paying laborers their just wage. An employer not paying what someone who agreed to work for it, not paying what they agreed, what the agreement was. Let's go through these briefly. First of all, willful murder. This reminds us of the heinous sin of abortion. And I was reading recently a statistic which is shocking. And this statistic says that for every American soldier who died in battle from 1775 until today, there have been 91 babies aborted who have been murdered by abortion from 1970 until today. And that's shocking. As terrible as war is, and indeed it is a terrible thing, war, think of all the abortions. There have been, according to the statistics here, and this is taken from a website called numberofabortions.com, and as of December 12th, last month, it listed the abortions at 59,974,434 abortions in the United States. And again, a ratio of 91 to 1 aborted, murdered babies in comparison to soldiers killed in war. So what a heinous crime. And that's the first sin that cries out to heaven for vengeance, just like the blood of Abel, the sin of willful murder. The second sin is unnatural vice, reminding us of the punishment of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, how Almighty God detests unnatural vice. And the third is oppression of widows and orphans, the most vulnerable members of society, for someone to oppress them, to take advantage, to deal with them unjustly, how offensive that is to Almighty God. And lastly, to deprive a laborer of his just wage, again, is one of those sins. And you can see where that would be a more heinous sin, because especially if someone has a family to support and an employer does not provide what that person deserves for his or her work, you can see how this has other consequences beyond that person with those who depend on that person's labor. So this reminds us of the fact that employers have a duty to provide good working conditions and, again, a just wage. We recall that with the advent in the late 1700s of the Industrial Revolution, that factories were a deplorable place to work, and working conditions were absolutely unhealthful, oftentimes, etc. And then came the great Pope, Leo XIII, who issued his encyclical Rerum Novarum, in which he talked about looking at the changed condition of society with factories, etc., the need for proper working conditions. But as we reflect upon justice in this parable, let us ask ourselves, am I just? Do I always pay my just debts? Do I fulfill obligations that I have? Am I always honest in business dealings? We should be able to be known for our justice. And this is an interesting point that theologians point out, and that is that nothing can take the place of justice. Charity cannot take the place of justice. We know that charity is the greatest virtue. But a person can't be unjust to one person and then turn around and be charitable towards someone else and think, well, that will make up for it. There's actually an adage that we use for priests, for confessions, etc. And that is, we're taught in moral theology, without restitution, there is no forgiveness. So sins of theft or of dishonesty are sins that require that restitution be made in order to obtain forgiveness for those sins. So let us reflect, as we reflect upon this gospel, reflect upon the virtue of justice and resolve that we will always be honest, conscientious, and that we will be known for being fair and just and honest in all of our business dealings, to emulate the householder here who was both just and also generous and also merciful. Two qualities which we see in Almighty God, who possesses them in their perfection, and that we must imitate by being just and also kind and generous as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.